We reflected in the weeks coming up to this moment about different pieces of the Bible story, the Christmas story. And if you're part of our church, you heard me say that oftentimes we look at the whole story, but sometimes we miss the little pieces. And I want to just stop again and bring our attentions back to the reason why we celebrate this. Hopefully the singing, hopefully the praying will settle our minds and focus us back on the things that are most important. Now, we at our church this year and hundreds, thousands of other churches throughout the world use this structure called the Advent candles or Advent wreath in some traditions. We've used this as a picture to help focus our attentions and our minds on different pieces of the Christmas story. We've used the candles that are depicted behind me on the stage to remind us each week as we've read passages of Scripture from different parts of the Bible and we've prayed and asked God to give us just a longing for Jesus. And my prayer is for myself and for you that we have an increased sense of longing for Jesus. And we sing, "Come, long expected Savior." We sing, "O come, Emmanuel." We sing all of these things that are almost words that say, if only he would just come. My prayer is that he would have come in a new way to you during the season. And that you would have experienced him and are experiencing him in a different way. And if you're here this evening and you don't know this Jesus that we're longing for, my prayer is that your eyes would be opened to the reality of who this Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the one we've been longing for longer than we can even imagine. And so as we've been working through these weeks, these 4 weeks leading up to this evening, we looked at different pieces of the story from different writers' perspective. And we started with the first candle, which was a reminder about the prophecies that were made about Jesus. And we look particularly at the writings of Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus was born. And what Isaiah gave us was a promise. And the promise he gave us was that in the midst of the darkness of our days, the Lord God would send a son who would be born of a virgin. And as he is born, his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this one, and we've sung it, "He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He is the one that God has promised to us as the answer to all of our questions, the solution to all of our problems. Any sense of disconnect or out of rightness that we experience, this Jesus is the promise for us. And we longed and waited and waited, and the world waited for this moment when the promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we lit the first candle. The second week, we looked not at the promise, but we looked at the place, Bethlehem. And a contemporary of Isaiah, his name is Micah, he wrote about not the person that would be born, but the place that this person would be born. He would be born in Bethlehem. The name of the city means house of bread, and with Ephrathah attached, it's the fruitful house of prayer. And so we reflected on the fact that this one who was called the bread of life was actually born in the house of bread. He is the one who satisfies all of our hungers. He's the one that satisfies all of our longings. He is the one that answers all of those questions, and he is born exactly where he was supposed to be born, in the little village, Bethlehem. And as we lit the second candle some weeks ago, we reflected on this place where this one who would be born, the King of Israel, he would be in the line and lineage of David, the greatest king in Israel's history. And he would shepherd his people with strength and compassion. And we reflected together on this desire for me and hopefully for you that we would have a shepherd in our lives, born in this little village, but fully capable of guiding us through whatever journeys we go on as believers. The promise, the place. On the third week, we lit the candles reflecting on the shepherds. And it's not the promise or the place, but it's peace. We just read that, or sang that song, Silent Night, and for a moment there, before the song ended, there was a sense of calm. Did you feel it? Yes, there were children singing and moving, and yes, there was distractions around. However, there was a moment where it was just like, that's what it was like that night. When the shepherds sat on the hillside doing their job, watching sheep at night, that's what they do. And in the middle of that silence, the sky opened up to the glories of heaven, shining down, radiating down on these simple shepherds. And the message was, glory to God in the highest, and peace among men with whom he is well pleased. And I've mentioned this till I'm blue in the face in our church, but Jesus is peace for us. He is the promise of peace for us. That sense of rightness for all the wrongs, that sense of calm in the midst of all of the storms. He is that one that when he is with us, we can just breathe a sigh of relief. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says that in Isaiah chapter 9. Micah says that in Micah chapter 5, this one shall be our peace. The angels declared that on the hillside to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. This one will bring peace to all men with whom God is well pleased. This is the one that brings me, by faith, peace, a sense of rest. With the prophecy candle, we saw the promise. With the Bethlehem candle, we saw the place. With the shepherd's candle, we saw peace. The fourth candle we lit was about the angels, and we looked at the stories where the angels interject history to accomplish something for God's purposes. Angels are messengers of the Lord. And we saw Gabriel, I believe, in four of these settings. Gabriel first visiting Zechariah. We didn't look at it in this study particularly, but we looked at it in the study of John earlier in the year. That Zechariah visited John the Baptist's father and said, you will have a son. He'll be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he will declare and prepare the way for the Lord who will come after him in his glory and his might and his strength. That same Gabriel visited Mary, a virgin betrothed to a man, unmarried, and said, you will bear a son by the Lord God himself, and you will call him Jesus. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. And she obeyed. We reflected on the story of Joseph and how Gabriel, I believe, visited him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take your wife, because what's going on in her is actually a miracle of the Lord God. So be strong, be courageous, be hope-filled. Why? Because the Lord God is doing something wonderfully majestic through the life of this baby that was growing in Mary's womb. Through the angel's candle, we saw God's plan played out in time. I mentioned it previously, but what does it feel like for the angels to long for God's will? That's what they were doing. They were longing for God's will. They were learning just like we were about what God was up to. In that moment when Gabriel appeared and the angels bursted through the sky, they were as excited as any one of us would have been, because they were declaring the plan of God in time. We've looked at God's promise, we've looked at God's place, we've looked at God's peace, we've looked at God's plan. But all of that is leading up to this night, where we light the last and final candle, the Christ candle. It is white to remind us about the purity and the holiness of Jesus Christ, not only in his birth, but in his life and in his death and in his ongoing work for us in glory. The Lord Jesus is pure and perfect and spotless. He is everything glorious, everything wonderful, everything perfect in every way. As we light the candle tonight, we rejoice because the light of the world is born. And so that we might reflect on the whole story, the whole counsel of God with regards to this candle, I've invited my friend Jack Barber to come up and help read from the writings of Isaiah and Micah and Matthew and Luke and John.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said the saying, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Still the greatest story ever read, for sure. So, Jack, thank you. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we just praise you for the story. It spans the ages, was birthed out of your own creative spirit, that at the right time, at the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. That the angels would declare his birth, that shepherds would tell of his birth, that the whole world would pause and wait this glorious moment. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the light of the world. We thank you that he is the answer to all of our problems. We thank you, Lord, that he is the one that reconciles us first to you and forever to you. I pray, God, that we would know that reconciliation, that we would know that peace, and that we would know your presence. God, when we light the candle this night, we think of your presence among us. Emmanuel, God with us. I pray that he would reign in our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Nothing came into existence without him. In him was life, and him was the light of men. Sounds familiar because we've been working through the Gospel of John in our Sunday morning studies. But this light who possessed life came into the world of darkness, and the world did not know him. They rejected him. They were looking for something else. They were hoping for something else. They were wanting something else. They reached for something else. And they rejected the very light that would penetrate the darkness. I love how the Gospel of John starts. It tells us so much about this word in the writings of the Gospel. It's actually capitalized, so we know it's something significant. It's talking about someone significant. Because down in verse 14 of that very first chapter, it says, this Word who is God, this Word who is eternal, this Word who it coexists with the Father, this Word that has created all things, this Word that possesses life in his hands, this one who is light in the midst of the darkness, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so on this Christmas Eve, we celebrate this one who is the very presence of God with us. And we reflect on the fact that all of the things that the Lord Jesus brings, which are consistent with what we call the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these nine things are ours. Why? Because this eternal Word became flesh and dwells among us. So that as we experience the presence of the Lord Jesus in our life, we experience all of those things that reconciliation with God brings with it. All of those things I listed and many other things. My prayer for us tonight, my prayer for us this week, my prayer for us until we see Jesus come again is that we would abide in the very presence of the Lord Jesus and that we would individually and collectively experience everything that this Christmas season means. And Christmas is more than trees and lights. It's more than all of those things that we're going to experience, and those things are fantastic. But the Christmas season is about experiencing the very presence of the Lord God in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my prayer for each of you tonight is that you would experience that presence in your life, not just today, but every single day until the Lord Jesus comes again. And we know he will certainly come again. and reign on earth. And we're excited for those days. For these days, though, we wait and we long and we hope and we expect, trusting that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus will come see us. Let me pray for us that God would give us peace, that the light of the world would dispel the darkness of our hearts and soon of this room and into the future, into this world, that the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, might radiate out from our hearts and our minds. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for coming. We thank you for being born of a virgin. We thank you for coming to earth. We thank you for the incredible story of the promises of old coming true in Bethlehem. We thank you, Father, for the angels, and we thank you for the shepherds, and we thank you for the silence of that night. We thank you, Father, for all the promises that you've given us in Jesus. Lord God, we want to reflect tonight on light and presence and peace. We want to reflect, Father, tonight on the fact that Jesus is the light that dispels all darkness. I pray, God, that you would do a great work in us, that you would show us what it means to be light in darkness, like the shepherds who took this great news and broadcast it and shared it. I pray, God, that we would be people that know this light, not just tonight, but every night. And we pray that name, pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus, the true light of the world. Amen. Darkness is suffocating. I don't know if you're afraid of the dark. I certainly have been before. As a child, I remember sitting in my bed, afraid that I'm seeing things, hoping that maybe the door would be open just enough for me to get a little bit of the light coming from the other room. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He and us, we are like cities on a hill, radiate the glory of God through this world. And I think about the shepherds that night as they were sitting in darkness, darker than even this room is right now. And they were sitting in the darkness, watching their sheep, and then suddenly light, more radiant and more glorious than anything they've ever seen before, shone around them. And how did they respond? They were filled with mega fear. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. The light of the world has been born. And you'll see it proven true because as you go into the city, you'll find a baby born and laying in a manger. And this one will be the promised Prince of Peace. This one will be Emmanuel, God with us. This one will be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This one will be the Light of the World. He'll be the Bread of Life. He'll be living water for you. He'll be a well that springs up into eternal life inside you. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He is unlike any other. He is your answer to everything. Find the baby in the manger, and you'll find this life. You'll find this light." And I love the example of the shepherds, because what did they do? They immediately went and they searched door to door, room to room, house to house, cave to cave, and they found him, this baby born that night, lying in a manger. And they said, "We cannot hold this good news to ourselves. We have to go and share it." There was something in their spirit that said, "I cannot hold this good news to myself. I cannot be the one in the midst of the darkness that is suffocating me. I cannot be the one to hold the light." And it's a picture for us because we are here now in physical darkness, but we live in a world full of spiritual darkness. And it is on us, brothers and sisters, we who carry the message of Jesus Christ, we who carry the light of Jesus Christ, it's on us not to hold it to ourselves. And yes, we've talked a lot about personal experience of the peace and the presence of God, and I pray that for you. But we do not have the light to hold it. In the same way that I don't have this light right now to hold it, I have this light to share it. And so as we share the light, literally, physically, right now in this room, I pray that it would stand as a picture for us, not just of the beauty of light, but of our need to share it, so that the darkness that suffocates us in this room would be overcome by the power of the light of Jesus Christ. As we sing, as we pray, as we pass the light, reflect on the fact that light always dispels the darkness. And let's walk in that power and that strength tonight and forever until the light of the world comes again. Amen to that.
We pray.
I think there was a moment there where you thought that that was totally unorganized. That somebody forgot to call the ushers. It was intentional. And I wish you could have been in my position, because some of you said, I want to give the light to someone else. And you actually came out of your row and you went somewhere else. There's still people in the back that don't have the light. All of us here in the front are enjoying the light. They're still in the dark back there. Some of you said, my light is still dark and I want it. I'm going to go to somebody who has it and I'm going to get it. And this is such a great picture for us of what the gospel is supposed to look like in this world. That we who carry the light are to be taking it. We are taking the initiative to stand up, get out of our comfort zone, walk somewhere, and actually give the light to someone. We should be living in such a way where people who are still in the darkness should long for what we have, and they should go out of their way to find us so that they can get the light that we're carrying. Candlelight service is a great, great experience spiritually. It's just a beautiful moment. However, it's a moment with a message. And the message is that there is good news, friends. Jesus is born. And he is the Prince of Peace. And he is the one we have waited for. He is the one we've longed for. He is the solution to everything. And in him is found life itself. Take the good news with you. Take it to every corner of the world, every corner of your world, so that God's glory might be broadcast through us individually, as families, as a church, and as a community. To God be glory. Glory to God in the highest. Peace among earth, or peace among men with whom he is pleased. Let's pray. Lord God, there's great joy because Jesus is born. He is our promised Messiah, King, ruler, Lord, Savior, friend. God, I pray you'd fill us with joy, that this joy would be broadcast out through us into this world as we ring in this great and glorious and wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen.